Number one, as we began last week, we talked about this series that we're going to do for 4 weeks in a row. Last week was week number one. This is week number two. The title of the series is A Prayer Journey, and the title of tonight's message is A Prayer Journey Part Two. And so tonight I pray that it will be a blessing and a help to you. We did put it on the PowerPoint. Last week we had a lot of things I was trying to get across and probably didn't get everything across I'd like to, and I think it'd be a little bit easier if we use the PowerPoint here tonight and just try to get down everything. And it seems like there is, as I'm studying, as I'm working, it just seems like you never have enough time to do everything you want to do. And I'm hoping that we can get in enough of what the Lord's laid upon my heart tonight for in this thought and in this series. The goal of the series is to help people have a meaningful prayer life. I tell you, one of the number one things I hear from people is, I guess don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything in my prayer life. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It seems like it's always, I'm daydreaming. I can't stay focused. And it's just not something they look forward to. But that's what that meeting with God, that meeting with the Lord in the morning time should be the most important appointment of your day. And it should have priority, and there is different ways. So the hope for this is we're going to show you 12 different things about prayer, biblical things about prayer, give you some different things to think about to help encourage and improve your spirit life, your prayer life. And let me also say there is nothing that is written in stone here except for the fact we're supposed to pray. I believe a prayer should be spirit-led, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, being spirit-led in our prayers. It should not, it might have some formalism to them, the fact that you're going from one thing to another, but you should let the Holy Spirit of God work in your heart and your mind and let Him lead you in your prayer time. You're praying to the Lord. And as we give you 12 different things, the point of it, the thought of it was, if you average 5 minutes on each thing, that means you can pray for an hour. You say, well, is that all I have to do? It just gives you an idea, an answer. You think of the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You also think about that request that the Lord asked Peter. And then afterwards, he came to Peter when he was sleeping. He says, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? At the end of this, we're probably going to give you some type of handout to show you the 12 different things and the 12 different steps. But right in the middle, it's going to be, I thought, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not take the time to spend quality time with me each and every day? And some people will be like, it'd be a waste of time to pray for an hour. And it's because of the fact that their prayer time is something that is lacking and needs. And I've been there, and sometimes I still feel like I'm there. I know that when I don't pray like I should throughout the day, I know what I need to do is get to God, get to the Lord, spend some quality time with Him. The days I do spend that, invest that time and do that devotion time and prayer and Bible reading, I know that my day is set forth. Doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that I'm going to not fail, but I tell you, it gives me a lot better chance to live in the Spirit and do what God's called us to do. Quick review. We're going to see if the remote works for us tonight. There it goes. Quick review. So on this prayer journey, stop number one we talked about last week was praising. And I know probably 3 weeks ago on a Sunday morning, we talked about why we should praise Him, and we looked at it again last week. Praise gets the focus off of us and puts it on God. If you have the right perspective of God, you're going to have the right perspective of yourself. And what praise does, it gives you to get to the right spot and the right opportunity to pray to God. So many times people don't get this. So many times people just get in there and they say, you know what, God's going to have to give me this. I'm going to get my will done up in heaven. But if you spend a little bit of time thinking about that He's infinite and that He's the one that's all powerful, that He's the one that's all knowing, that He is the one that is the Creator, and as Creator, I should serve Him. And I'm going to speak to the Creator. But as I was mentioning in my prayer, we know people that are in charge. Sometimes we know people that are maybe the one who is our boss or the one that we have to answer to, the one we have to listen to. But sometimes they're hard taskmasters. You ever worked for somebody that was a hard taskmaster? Don't raise your hand, honey. So sometimes there's hard taskmasters. And sometimes we think there's people that do not care at all about us. And they says they only care about themselves. You know, when we go before the Lord, we see him as creator, and we are creature, and we should obey him because of that. But then we consider how much he loves us. We consider his mercy. We consider his kindness, his graciousness, the grace he offers us, and the fact that he's promised to work all things together. We praise him for a little while. We get into the right mode, the right spirit, and it gives us a proper view of God. It helps us get a proper view of ourselves. And when we realize he is all-powerful, we realize that he is all-knowing, it changes our prayer lives. It changes us coming to him with a worrisome attitude. Instead, we're looking at a God that can do something. We're having confidence. We're trusting in God. We're believing in his promises. We're coming to him and saying, Lord, these are our needs. And God, we're asking you to work. We believe that you can work. We believe you can do this. God, please help this individual. God, please help in this situation. It's not a weak prayer. It's not one that's just all over the place. You have confidence in trusting in the Lord. The second thing we talked about, and we remember those verses that are up there, Psalm 50:23, whoso offer praise glorifieth me. So you're glorifying God, and that's what we're supposed to do with our lives. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. The Lord likes it when we praise him. It's because we get the focus off of us and put it on God. Next one was waiting. And I know waiting was probably new for some of you. And we know the Bible talks about waiting. And there's a verse in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am the Lord, that I am God, excuse me. Waiting on the Lord is basically silent surrendering your soul to the Lord. Waiting upon God requires our entire being. We're not talking about daydreaming. We're talking about getting our hearts ready. We're amazed and stood in awe of all the things that God has done, all the things that God has given us, and all the things that God means. I remember listening to a guy that would come up and pray, and when the pastor asked him to pray, he would come up front, and this guy used to pray really, really long, but he didn't do it for a show of men. He prayed longer than most, but he always would take a few seconds before he actually began his prayer. And you know, sometime he was one of the Sunday school teachers, and I asked him, why do you do that? And he said he's waiting because he's entering into the presence of God, and he considers that, and he thinks about that, and as he's getting ready to talk to God, it makes a difference in how you're going to talk to him. That's when you feel led to go on your knees, because you're not just talking to somebody else. You're entering into the presence of God, and where it talks about in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can find help in our time of need. One great missionary of the past said, a great part of my time is spent getting my heart in tune for prayer. It is the divine link that connects earth with heaven. Waiting on God is especially essential to prayer because it strengthens our knowledge and concept of God. When we have so many things going on in our heart and so many things going on in our mind, during this time of waiting, we consider the throne of God, and we consider what we're leaving everything else behind, and we are silently surrendering our soul and saying, Lord, I want to talk to you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm approaching you. And God, it's not as much about listening, because that's going to come later on. But it's more about getting our hearts and minds ready. And the Bible talks about being still. I love that spot in the book of Job where Job says, I'm just going to put my hand on my mouth. I don't want to say anything else. I've said enough. And he says, I'm just going to wait. The third thing we learned about last week, and it's important, is confession. Or confessing. Did we get it up there? Confessing. Confessing is an important part. It's one of the things that people probably would say is probably one of the most important parts. When someone came out the door last week, he says, I'm glad you finally got to that verse where it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I said, that's a really important one. But until you know what iniquity is, it doesn't matter. That's why I say it's important. When you go to this time of confession, usually if you look at the last 24 hours, you can say, you know, Lord, you know, I could have done better here. Lord, I should have done better here. Lord, I spent the whole day and didn't read your Bible. Or Lord, I spent the whole day and never really talked to you. Lord, I spent the whole day and never was a witness to somebody. Lord, you know, there are things that we can confess, but we know that confession is agreeing with God and desiring to do better, desiring never to do that again. And so that's what true confession is. And here when it's talking about, Lord, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, when we go to Psalms chapter 139, we consider these verses, that's a time of confession. That's a time of, Lord, I want you to speak to my hearts. I want you to show me what's hindering you, what's wrong between me and you. You ever try to talk to somebody, you knew they were mad, you knew they were upset, and you come up and say, I feel like there's something going on here. Can you please tell me, you know, what have I done to offend you? I want to get it right. And they give you this cold treatment. They, you know, oh, nothing's wrong. You can tell by the look on their face, they're upset. Oh, no, it's not a big deal. You know, God wants to reveal these things to you. Given an open heart and time for confession. You want your heart and mind to be right and ready for the Lord. Okay, so we're up to stop number four. And stop number four, we're calling scripture praying. Scripture praying. And that's where we're going to come in Nehemiah chapter number one. I say, what's scripture praying? Well, I like calling it prayer promises. But we want to keep the ing thing going, so we're calling it scripture praying, is when we call unto the Lord and we begin to talk to the Lord about his promises and the things that are found in his word. When you use the word of God, you know what happens then? You're getting power inside your prayer. When you use scripture, then you're getting the word of God behind you. And that's the most powerful thing in the world. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? There's a number of times in the Bible where some of the great Bible characters would pray the things that God had already told them. And what are they doing? They're saying, Lord, you told us this. This is what we're trying to do. Lord, you said if we would do this and this and this, then God, this is what you're going to do. So what we're doing, Lord, here is we are giving you your word back to you. We are following your word, and we want you to do what you've said you're going to do. God, please. You know, at the same time, you say, well, of course God's going to answer his words. Well, have you ever gone to God and said, you know, Lord, you've made me this promise. You said if we go out and we sow seed, we're doubtless will come again rejoicing. You know, have we ever held him to those words and say, Lord, you said this and this and this, and God, this is what I'm trying to do. God, hear and answer my prayer. So let's look here in Nehemiah. I'll show you an example, and then I'll give you some of the prayer promises that I enjoy inside of my prayer time. You say, where do you find these? You find these as you study the Bible. You come across them, and the Lord reveals them unto you and shows you. There's one of those prayer promises you can put on your list. As I was considering some other ones besides the ones I use on a regular basis, some other ones came to my mind. The Lord revealed some thoughts to my mind. What about this one? What about this one? You say, you know, God does that. He talks to us, and that's what our prayer time is supposed to be. Look in Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah has just heard about the state of Jerusalem, the state of the walls of Jerusalem. He's burdened, he fasts, he prays, and look at his prayer beginning in verse number 5. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant. And he's saying, look, you keep the covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. So what is he saying there? He says, you've promised to keep this covenant to those that will do what you've asked them to do. Verse number 6, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which the Lord commanded my servants Moses. So he's confessing his sins. Verse number 8, there's a word there that says, remember. And that's what we're doing, is we're reminding God of his promises. Does God know them? Of course he does. But when we put the word of God in our prayer and we scripturally pray these things, it gives us power. It's not just our desires. It's not just things we've made up in our relationship. It's not just things that we think God should do. These are the things God has promised us to do. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Now, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Look what it says in verse number 9 again. But if ye turn, he's talking about a promise, but if ye turn unto me, if you will turn unto the Lord and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, which is the description of what's happening in that day and time. Many of the Jews were scattered abroad. They've been cast out. But then it says, yet will I gather them thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. What is he doing? He is reminding God. He is praying to the Lord. I know that we've sinned, but you've said if we will do this, this, and this, you'll gather us again. He's reminding God and he's saying, God, this is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what I'm praying to you, God. Please help this to be accomplished. This is my request, God. Answer your prayer. Do what you've said you would do. And so with that thought, and Nehemiah is not the only one, there's a number of people that has done this. What he's doing is just telling God things that he had said earlier. Have you ever personally reminded somebody of a promise? Anybody ever said, you remember when you told me you were going to do this? Sometimes children will tell their parents, but you said you would do this. Sometimes wives might remember their husbands. Remember when you said you were going to fix that? Husbands might remind their wives of something. They're reminding them of the promise because they want them to remember it and do what they promised they were going to do. And sometimes as a human, we might not physically be able to do it. Or sometimes something might come up, a circumstance that stops us from doing it. But God in his word, he is a God that cannot lie. And as he's a God that cannot lie, if he's made you a promise, guess what? He is going to obey it. So here are some of these scripture praying that I enjoy. Some of my favorite passages. Jeremiah 33:3, I believe, is up there. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So when I get to that, and I see that prayer promise, I say, Lord, I'm talking to you. I'm calling unto you, like you said in your word. And Lord, you've promised me you're going to answer me. And Lord, not only did you promise me that you're going to answer me, you're going to show me great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, as I come to you, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I can't understand why all these things are happening. But I want you to reveal your will in these situations. That's what a prayer promise is. You said, if I'll call unto you, you're going to answer me. And as you answer me, you're going to show thee these things that I don't know. And the amazing thing is when God puts all the pieces together and he works all the situations out, you can step back and you look and say, wow, I didn't see that happening. And that's the great and mighty things many times is how God is working your lives. There's a number of verses like this. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We all have needs. And we're saying, we're coming to you, Lord, and we're coming to your throne because we're seeking mercy. We need help right now, Lord. We don't know what to do. And sometimes we don't know what type of help we even need. But we need help, Lord. And you said, if we'll come to your throne of mercy, that you'll give us the help we need in that time. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. And here's the point is, he says, look, if I will abide in you, Lord, so I'm reminding you, Lord, I am doing my best to abide in you. And I am staying with you. And we learn what the word abide means. We talk about that close relationship. And as my words or your words abide, as you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask, Lord, I'm letting your words lead and dictate my life. And he's saying, whatever ye shall ask, what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay, Lord, I'm doing my best here to abide in you and allowing your words to abide in me. I'm going to need you to help me show me where I can't because I'm asking this according to your will. And as I ask this according to your will, I'm expecting you're going to answer me. I'm expecting I'm going to hear an answer from you because that's what your word says. Now, I'm not telling you you should get up there and argue with God. I'm not saying, God, you promised this. No, but what I am saying is after you've gone to the point of worshiping him, seeing him that he can work all things together for good, and you seeing that he does love you and that he is gracious, and you wait on the Lord and you confess your sins to him, you have a heart that's right with the Lord, and you can come to him and say, God, these are the things you've told me you are willing to do and willing to help me with. God, this is what I need. Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Think about it. He says, Lord, if you said I will delight in you, you'll give me the desires of your heart. Help me to delight in you. That's what I want to do, Lord. I want to delight in you because I want you to, my desires to be your desires, God, so you will give me the desires of my heart, not so I can get $1 million so I can take care of my family, but because you are God and because you are Lord and because you are all these things, God, I want my desires to be your desires. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Romans 8:28, another great one. We probably could quote that one. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're reminding him, Lord, you said you're going to take my life as long as I'm loving you and doing the called according to your purpose. You told me that you're going to take these things and work them out for good. We're reminding them of these things. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by thy name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their lands. Over and over, there are scriptures that he says, if you will do this, this, and this, then I will do this. We are scripturally praying to God with the great promises that he's given us. I remember reading a sermon by a preacher. It says how you can argue with God and win. And I'm not saying you should argue with God, but if you continually remind him of the things he has promised you, he will mold you and lead you and direct you. Like he says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need God to direct our paths. How do we get that? We remind him of those things. Lord, I want you to lead me. Where do we find these prayer promises? You find them as you go through the scriptures, your daily devotional readings. You'll come across things that God has promised in his word. Things like Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen to the promise, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You're reminding him of these things. You know what you're also doing? You're reminding yourself. You're giving yourself in faith and confidence and trust. God has given me these promises, and you're having power behind your prayer. It's not your words anymore. It is God's word saying, this is what I will do for you. And this God and repeating his words back to him is not just something you think he should do. It's not the God that the way you think he should react. This is how, Lord, you said you would do these things. God, help me be like this. Spurgeon said this when it comes to this secret of praying. He said, every promise of Scripture is a writing of God, which we may plead before him with this reasonable request. Do as thou hast said. The Creator will not cheat the creature who depends upon his truth. And far more, the Heavenly Father will not break his word to his own child. Let me say that again. Every promise of Scripture is a writing of God, which may be pleaded before him with the reasonable request, do as thou hast said. The Creator will not cheat the creature who depends upon his truth. And far more, the Heavenly Father will not break his word to his own child. So we see that part of scripture praying. Stop number five. Stop number five, it might be a little bit different than you ever heard before. It's the word watching. Now, the word watch is found over and over in Scripture, but you don't hear a lot of people talk about that when it comes to prayer time. And what it means is that you should be spiritually alert. How many times have you prayed and tried to have an extended prayer time, and the first thing that happens, you start daydreaming. You start going the other way. You start thinking about other things. The phone starts ringing. Somebody starts knocking on your door. You become spiritually alert and watching. Watching, the Bible says in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving. As Matthew chapter 26, we've talked about how Jesus comes to Peter and says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not stay spiritually alert? And with our prayer time, and once again, our desire is not to get an hour in. Our desire is to have a spiritual, meaningful meeting with God every day through prayer. It is to help transform our prayer time. It's help to encourage our prayer time. We take a few minutes here and say, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm speaking to you. Lord, I want to make sure that I am spiritually alert. Lord, please help me to stay alert. Help me to be watching during this prayer time. I don't want to give the devil a chance. I don't want to pray for the wrong things. I want to be spirit-led as watching. He made it clear that watching was a specific element of prayer, something as important to as thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. He says, with thanksgiving, you continue to pray and you watch. Think about what Paul said, praying always with all things, praying, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's the same type of thing. Be spiritually alert. What did Jesus and his chief apostle mean when they challenged him to watch in prayer? The Greek word actually means is gregorio. I probably didn't pronounce it right, but it means to be awake, to be vigilant. The dictionary defines it as keeping awake in order to guard. It also means a close observation, to be on alert. So when you're praying, I think there are some things that we need to be aware of. There are some things that we have got to keep in the forefront of our mind. As we're praying and we're speaking to God, we need to be on alert and we need to be making sure that we're aware of a few things. This phrase is as Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 26, as it's mentioned in Colossians chapter number 4, and also in Ephesians chapter number 6. It is something that Jesus and Paul are both making mention here, that we need to be sure that we are being alert while we pray. It's not some meaningless babbling back and forth so you can just read over a prayer list. It is a time of communicating with God. So I put down three different things about that we should watch for. Three different things that we should make sure. See, that thing doesn't do what I told it. There it is. To make sure of. I don't know if that skipped earlier or not, but it's continue in prayer. Three different things. There it goes again. Three different things that we should be aware of. And we'll probably just stop at this point after we talk about these three different things. So I'm saying that as you're praying, you should be spiritually alerted to these three other things. The first thing is that you should be spirit-led. Your prayer request time can become something that is physically done, carnally done. Especially, and I think prayer lists are good, and sometimes people do things out of just routine, but you should take this time and say, Lord, as I've confessed myself, I am right with you, I recognize who I am, I see who you are, but right now through this prayer time, I want to be spirit-led. I remember there was a wonderful quote, and I could not find it. Maybe I'll find it for next week. It talked about praying spiritually. Because there's an alternative to praying spiritually. There's praying carnally. There's praying the way we think we should be praying, and then there's also praying the way that the Holy Spirit of God leads us. Certainly, it is important that the Holy Spirit shows exactly what we should claim in prayer and how we should claim it. We should labor always to have the help of the Spirit in our prayers. Lord, I want to be spiritually alert. Lord, I want your help during this prayer time. Lord, I want you to lead. I want the Holy Spirit of God to lead me. I want to be aware above all things of formality. There is nothing more spiritual than that may become of my prayer than to let the Holy Spirit of God pray, you know, teach me how to pray. You say, where do you see that in the Bible? Well, you think about what it says in Romans chapter number 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's important that during our private time that we're watching and that our prayer remains completely spiritual. If the skeleton, one preacher put it this way, if the skeleton and outline of our prayers be by habit, almost a form, let us strive that the clothing and filling of our prayers be as much as possible by the Spirit. No discussion of subject of praying is not done watching and praying without saying, I want the Holy Spirit of God to lead me. We need to make sure that is a spiritual prayer. It's something that the Holy Spirit of God is leading, directing. It's not just a formal time. It's something that we're allowing him to take us in the direction. We're getting ready to go to intercessory prayer, intercession. We want the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us in that. Not only should be aware that it's Spirit-led, second thing I think is important that we should watch is that you're aware of the enemy. You're aware of the enemy. The Lord reminds us over and over the scriptures. There's a devil out there. He's real. And as we're being on spiritual alert, they say, Lord, I want to be spirit-led. I know that there is a devil. I know he does not want me to talk to you. I know he does not want me to pray. Lord, I'm going to ask you to bind him. I don't want to have any part of that. He's going to bring distractions in there. And I know sometimes I recognize that when you're praying and someone, as a phone beeps, if the phone rings, if something happens, you know, I got to look at that. Now you can be alert and say, you know what, that is something that the devil is trying to get me to distract from this time of prayer. You can turn your phone off. Or you can get to a spot in a moment where you know people are not going to distract you. You can let your family know, hey, look, I'm going to have some devotion time. Unless it's some type of emergency, just leave me alone for a little while. Yeah, that's what the Bible talks about, a prayer closet. That means why you might have to get up earlier than everybody else to accomplish this. But what are you being there? You're being spiritually alert. You're realizing there's a devil that doesn't want you to pray. You're realizing there's a devil that's going to bring distraction. You realize there's a devil that's going to do whatever he can to get you to stop praying. So I realize there's a need. And that, when remember that word watch means being alert, staying awake to make sure that there isn't. We want to make sure our prayer time is not something that is just waning in prayer, but instead is spiritually alert. The Bible tells us to be vigilant against the devil, that he seeks to devour us. And that word watch that Paul and Jesus both use with prayer is saying we should be watching the Satan's attack to block our efforts for the Lord. We should say, Lord, I guess I want to spend a few minutes here. I want to watch. I want to be spiritually alert. I want to make sure that I'm not going to let the devil ruin this time. I want to make sure I'm not being carnally led. I want to make sure this is a time I can spend with you to speak to you and to hear from you. It's not going to be about what I want, Lord. It's about what you want. The third thing is, I think we should be aware of, number one, is that it's spirit-led. The second thing is that there is an enemy. The third thing is you realize the great need. I say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? Watching in prayer goes beyond developing alertness to the manner in which Satan may attack. It even goes beyond being spirit-led. From a practical standpoint, time should be allotted for prayer about the great needs of this world. If we consider, as we're getting ready to go into an intercessory prayer, and we're going to pray for other people, we're going to pray for other things, we begin considering the great need for those that are lost and that are without Christ. We begin considering, because, you know, our intercessory time can be so focused and so small as we begin thinking, well, you know, let's pray for Johnny and let's pray for Bobby, let's pray for Mommy, let's pray for Daddy, which all those things are part of intercessory prayer. But as we understand the need and we are spiritually alert and we're on watch because of the fact that we know there is a real danger and we know that there is a great need. If I told you that there was somebody who came into the church and had a gun out there and he was trying to kill people, you know what? Your alert is going to come up. It's going to rise up. The need's going to rise up. Something's going to happen, and you're going to change the way you act. You're going to be careful as you're walking out. You're going to be looking around as you're walking out. You're going to be very, very careful about the way you go, what you say, what noises you make, because there's a need that is there. And spiritual alertness is not just saying, hey, Lord, I want to be spiritually led here. Lord, I realize there's a devil, but I also see the great need in the world. I realize there's billions of people in this world, and I realize billions of them do not have the Word of God. Help me, direct me in my prayer for that. I realize that there are people that are lost and dying and going to hell. Lord, lead me in that prayer. As I go into intercessory prayer, make it not just about the things that the people I know and the people that I care about. Help me to understand the great needs that are happening in America. Help me to understand the great needs that are happening, yes, in my family. There is a spiritual warfare that the devil is trying to attack my children. The devil is trying to ruin my children. The devil is trying to ruin my marriage. The devil is trying to ruin my church. The devil is trying to ruin this part and this part and this part. It is spiritually alert. And you say, this prayer time is not just some time of just meaningless prayer where we're daydreaming, babbling our way through. We're spiritually alert and say, God, I want to be focused in this prayer. I want to watch in this prayer because the need is great. And as I enter into a time of intercessory prayer, I want to fight a spiritual battle as I go to God on behalf of, and then we begin to pray. Spiritual alertness is something that many times we pray because we're supposed to. We don't pray because we think that we're going to grow closer to God. We pray because the Bible says pray without ceasing. Many times people do not pray because they think it will make a difference. They pray because they want to revolve and get rid of that guilt of not praying. But that's not what prayer is. Prayer is the key that unlocks the omnipotence of God. Prayer is what God hears from us. It's what God expects us to do. And so, as we consider our prayer time, let's consider these two points on our stop. Let's start with praise, and let's go to wait, and then let's go to confessing, but then let's also go to scripture prayer. Get some scripture prayers. We mentioned some verses tonight. Use those until you, as you're studying the Bible, and you get some things that are close and personal. The Spirit will lead you on that. But then, as your prayer time, be spiritually alert and say, Lord, I want to watch. I've been in this prayer for 15, 20 minutes. And I want maybe 25 minutes. And Lord, I don't want to spend the rest of my time just wasting my time saying some words that I'm supposed to say. I want to spend time communicating with you. I realize I'm getting ready to go to you on behalf of other individuals, and I want to be spiritually alert and realize that it needs to be spiritually led, because I don't know what my kids need, but you do. I don't know what my wife needs or my husband needs, but you do, Lord. Please lead me in this prayer. Lead me in a way that shows how people can be reached with the gospel. Lead me in a way that shows how the missionaries can have safety and have productive, fruitful ministries. It's spiritually alertness, watching and just being spiritually alert. And say, Lord, I know there's a devil out there. I don't want to do anything that's going to distract it. Lord, I'm just going to take a minute here and say, Lord, please help me with this. And Lord, the need is great. I don't always know what to say. Lead me in this prayer. So it's, if you think about it, you know, confession and intercession, these are all things, petitions, which means we're bringing our own needs before the Lord. These are all things that can take time. You know, you can average 5 minutes with these things. But make sure this stop that you say, I want this to be meaningful, Lord. Don't make it just about me doing what I'm supposed to do. I want this to make a difference today. I want to be spiritually watching. If you go out through and you look in the Bible, there's more than one time where he tells us to watch, to be spiritually alert. One of the most important times we can do that is during our prayer time. Now, I know that's only the second point. We're at stop number 5. Next week, we're going to look at stop number 6. We already looked at intercession a few Sunday nights ago, so we probably won't spend a lot of time on it. Don't know what we'll do, but next week will be intercession, and then the weeks, and then we'll also cover a couple more. But we'll get done when we need to get done. Maybe if we're trying to get done before Kids Crusade, we might do one on a Sunday night to try to help us in this. But as you leave, take these two with you. Introduce these things into your prayer time. See if God, you say, well, my prayer time's good. Great. But is it, you know, are you praying? And if you're praying, wonderful. If you feel like you're close to the Lord and don't need any help, you're not like most of us. We always can help improve our prayer time. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. We'll look at this.